This is Chris McGregor. The work of Discerning Hearts really could not continue without your prayers and support. Between now and December 31st, please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift. Click the Donate button on discerninghearts.com or inside the Discerning Hearts free app. Your generous support will allow us to continue the programming you have come to expect from us, like those from Father Timothy Gallagher, Dr. Anthony Lillis, Monsignor John Esseff, Archbishop George Lucas, and so many more. Please prayerfully consider supporting our mission, which is dedicated to those on the spiritual journey. Thank you, and God bless from all of us at Discerning Hearts. DiscerningHearts.com presents Beginning to Pray with Dr. Anthony Lillis. Dr. Lillis is an associate professor and the academic dean of St. John's Seminary in Camarillo, California, as well as the academic advisor for the St. Juan Diego House of Priestly Formation for the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. Through the years, clergy, seminarians, religious, and lay faithful have benefited from his lectures and retreat conferences on the Carmelite Doctors of the Church and the writings of St. Elizabeth of the Trinity. He is the author of Hidden Mountain's Secret Garden, a theological contemplation of prayer, as well as numerous other books focused on the spiritual life. In this series of conversations with Dr. Lillis, we focus on Doctor of the Church, St. Teresa of Avila, and her great spiritual masterwork, The Interior Castle. Beginning to Pray with Dr. Anthony Lillis. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Anthony, thank you so much for joining me again.
It's wonderful to be with you, Chris. I'm really excited about what we're about to talk about. Book 6 of The Interior Castle. We're at chapter 4, and I've been looking forward to our conversation.
We are really diving deep into the heart of Teresa of Avila, aren't we?
We're in the inner dwelling places of the castle. When we were talking earlier in earlier shows about the first and second and third dwelling places, those are kind of like on the periphery. But now we're really deep into the heart. And so there are beautiful things that happen that God entrusts to his friends who dare to journey this deep. And so she expounds on those. And what you're oftentimes getting in her descriptions are her own actual experiences that aren't from years and years and years ago, but relatively more recent in her life. And so she recounts them with greater detail. In fact, when I teach Saint Teresa, I like to teach La Vida, or her life, the first book she wrote. I like to teach that for the beginning stages of prayer, because she remembers them so much better at that stage of her life, what she went through. And then the upper stages, she's begun to experience them, but some of the mystical graces, she's still working out exactly what this means that she's experienced what she has had. In this book, the power of it is precisely where we are right now. These are experiences that are fresh to her, and she's had that many more years of theological formation and experience in the service of the Lord, and that wisdom really comes out in the way she deals with these things.
It's so interesting in that first paragraph of the fourth chapter of the Sixth Mansion, where she mentions that you have to have courage for union with the Lord so great it may take him for her spouse. Isn't that interesting? You have to have courage.
It's like that by analogy with any relationship that's really important. You know, I think today we live at a time where there's a lack of courage when it comes to meaningful relationships. I'm talking in particular, we have a lot of young people who are living together and they're afraid to get married. If you ask them, you know, why don't you want to get married? They're afraid of what might go wrong if they do get married, that they won't be able to be faithful, or they're afraid of being stuck with the other person and that kind of thing. And that fear has robbed them, and the fear is a lack of courage. To have courage means to have heart. And if you don't have heart, you don't have what it takes to stick with something, come what come may. And that's what they're concerned about. They're not so sure that they or the person they're living with has the heart that's needed for a lifetime commitment. And so they enter into these kind of tentative arrangements for the human person that they're not really good for us. We're made for something permanent, and we're made for a kind of greatness, and a lifetime of faithful love begins to unfold the greatness of humanity. Jesus, in these higher levels of prayer, has asked for the soul's hand. And the soul right now in the sixth mansion is being waken up by Jesus. He's waking up the soul. So, and part of waking up the soul is helping it find the courage it needs for an even deeper commitment, an even more meaningful intimacy with the Lord, one that is marked by a fruitful fidelity, very close to what marriage is. And in fact, you could say that marriage is kind of a shadow of what Jesus is promising the soul as he wakes her up. But for Jesus to do his work on our side, we need to have the courage, the resolve, the determination, the readiness to respond. And we can't be half-hearted about it. We need to be willing to go all the way. And above all, this means the courage, the heart, to trust God, come what come may.
It's fascinating, this first paragraph. Not only she talks about having courage, but she also begins to shed some light on an experience I think is quite fascinating. It's the nature of raptures that the soul might experience. And I just have to say, as a woman, I'm kind of hard on my own sex. And when she said, "I'm speaking of genuine raptures, not fancies that come from women's weakness," which so often occur nowadays. And I had a laugh because I thought, well, what's old is new again. I convict myself too. I mean, it's kind of her frankness about this, her practicality is just so refreshing. I think that's why she's such a joy to read.
Sure. And for somebody who is a little bit more sensitive and tender, there's strengths with that. You know, you're able to respond to what's going on in the moment precisely because you are tender and sensitive to what's going on, but you can also be easily overcome in the moment. And that's true. Women, men too, though. Saint John of the Cross, you know, he was a poet, and so he was very sensitive to things that were going on, and that's why the Lord kind of needed to toughen him up by throwing him in prison for a little while, and that actually prepared him for deeper and more sustained kinds of union. So it's what she's talking about, though, and what's kind of key is we live at a time today where there's kind of like a gluttony or lust for religious experience, including this kind of rapture. And the problem, if we're not a little bit more sober about the way we're approaching experiences in prayer, it's easy for us to self-manufacture something that is not God. And so Teresa's a realist, and she's going to say self-manufacturing a state of consciousness or a psychic state isn't really going to help you with your union with God. In fact, your ability to self-manufacture a psychic state says more about the weakness of your nature than it does about what God's actually doing in your heart. And so she's inviting people to step back and to be a little bit more strong, to have a little bit more heart in their relationship with the Lord, and not to seek for things in an inordinate way. We should seek the Lord with all our might, with all our strength, with our whole soul. Every heartbeat should yearn for the Lord. Last time we spoke, we talked about locution. If he gives you an inner word, what a beautiful thing, a gift to have. If he doesn't, you don't need it. If he gives you a rapture and some sort of vision in this rapture, well, praise him for that. That's a wonderful gift. In one sense, a little bit ordinary from the standpoint of it's not something that you've received that's beyond the scope of the baptismal grace that you've received. But you don't need it to be enraptured in order to have union with God. God might lead you in a totally different way. And so being sober, rooted in yourself, and not getting caught up in kind of gluttonously devouring spiritual experiences is a must. If you are oriented towards trying to acquire spiritual experiences in prayer, you will always go off track every single time.
I think that's, as you use the term sobering, we need to be sober about this stuff. Even St. Paul, in a way, says don't become a drunkard, because you never know. And we can get drunk on a desire to consume those kind of experiences. Am I correct?
That's right. If you look at St. Paul's writings, in fact, he will describe raptured, being enraptured into the highest heaven. And what did he see there? I mean, it's amazing. But he hardly describes it. In fact, in his letters, there's no description of what he saw or experienced in the highest heaven. What does he spend most of his time describing? After he talks about that experience, he says, but I will not boast about this. Instead, I will boast about, and what he boasts about, are all the failures and all the unjust persecution and all the terrible tragedies and hardships and trials, things that really cost him that were painful in his life. These were the things that he boasts about. And why does he boast about those things? Because in his weakness, that's where the power of God is most revealed. In fact, he even talks about a thorn in his flesh that he begged to be removed 3 times. And God told him, he said, you know, my strength, God did not remove the thorn from his flesh. And he described it as a demon that tormented him. And God said, I'm not going to remove this because my strength is being brought to perfection in your weakness. And so as Christians, what we honor and what we hold up as the greatest union with God is our ability to follow in the footsteps of our crucified master. If the Lord gives you a rapture and an intellectual vision in the rapture, thank him for that. If he gives you an interior word, a locution, thank him for that. You needed that because through that he's communicated something to you. But why did he communicate what he communicated to you? Why did you need it? Because without it, you wouldn't be able to make progress on the way to the cross. Union with God is always, always, always a progress in union with Jesus and his sufferings on the cross. And any other kind of union that somebody speaks about that avoids the cross, it's simply not Christian. Jesus said, unless you will deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. And Teresa's very aware of that. And so when she's talking about having courage in this stage, she means specifically a kind of courage to be surrendered to whatever the Lord wants to give you, whenever and however he wants to give it to you. But she's also talking about the courage you need to make progress by way of the cross, because you're not, what gets communicated to you isn't a way around the cross or beyond the cross. What gets communicated to you is a wisdom and truth you need so that you can follow the way of the cross.
We'll return to Beginning to Pray with Dr. Anthony Lillis in just a moment. Did you know that Discerning Hearts has a free app in which you can find all your favorite Discerning Hearts programming? Father Timothy Gallagher, Dr. Anthony Lillis, Deacon James Keating, Mike Aquilina, Dr. Matthew Bunsen, and so many more are found on the Discerning Hearts free app. Did you also know that you can stream Discerning Hearts programming on numerous streaming platforms such as Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and so many more? And did you know that Discerning Hearts also has the YouTube page? Be sure to check out all these different places where you can find Discerning Hearts.
Litany of Humility.
O Jesus, meek and humble of heart,
hear me. from the desire of being esteemed.
Deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being loved.
Deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being extolled.
Deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being honored.
Deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being praised.
Deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being preferred to others.
Deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being consulted.
Deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being approved.
Deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being humiliated.
Deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being despised.
Deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of suffering rebukes.
Deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being calumniated.
Deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being forgotten.
Deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being ridiculed.
Deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being wronged.
Deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being suspected.
Deliver me, Jesus. That others may be loved more than I.
That others may be esteemed more than I.
That in the opinion of the world, others may increase and I may decrease.
That others may be chosen and I set aside.
That others may be praised and I unnoticed.
That others may be preferred to me in everything.
That others may become holier than I, provided that I become as holy as I should.
Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it.
Amen.
We now return to Beginning to Pray with Dr. Anthony Lewis. As you describe it, how ultimately our journey leads us to the foot of the cross and maybe even to experience that ourselves in a very real way through, with, and in Him, we really are, we experience that, don't we, in some way every time we go to Mass. Isn't that the apex of the spiritual journey, is we celebrate that every time we go to Mass?
That's right. And that's, you know, right now, while we're doing this recording, Catholics all over the world are deprived of the grace of being able to participate in the Eucharistic liturgy by being physically present in the church. Fortunately, because of technology, many of us have access to video streams and so forth. You're removed from the action of the priest by not being able to be physically present to what's going on. The sacramental ministry and the liturgical signs are things that are meant to be experienced not only in real time, but actually, rather than simply, you know, virtually and electronically. The actual experience in an electronic format is diminished. But at the same time, the reality of what's playing out, wherever Father is celebrating Mass, by an act of faith, I can unite myself to that. And if the electronic media helps me do that, all the better for it. If it distracts me, then I can turn it off. I don't need it to participate in the Mass. I'm thinking right now, I think it was in Ethiopia, I heard a description about Christians walking for hours so they could sit on the outside of a church. They weren't able to enter in, but they were sitting on the outside of the church while waiting for hours for the Eucharistic liturgy to take place. And then the Eucharistic liturgy would take place, but they were not on the inside of the church being able to see or hear very much of anything at all. They were on the outside, and yet on the outside of the church, they were making all the gestures as if they were in the inside of the church. They were following the liturgy the best they could. Just to be near the church, to have their hands on the wall, was for them the way they participated in the liturgy. They put their whole minds and hearts into it. Well, I think we're called to do that today. When Teresa of Avila is inviting us into the inner chambers of the heart, the inner dwelling places of this beautiful spiritual castle that she's unpacked for us with such astonishing detail. She's inviting us to draw close to the Eucharistic Lord. He is the light of the world. He's the light of our souls. In the Mass, that great work that he did for us on the cross is being renewed and extended into space and time for us. And if we join ourselves spiritually to that, that is the most surefire and most powerful means to draw as close and as intimate to the Lord as we possibly can. And so it's not either mental prayer or liturgical prayer. In order to enter into the Mass, whether you can be physically present there or not, you need to mentally, in your heart, in your mind, you need to mentally make yourself present to it by faith. And when you do, then your ability to receive a spiritual communion, all the graces that you could have received had you been at Mass and been able to receive communion, you can do that spiritually by asking Jesus for those graces, even though you're not at Mass. And Jesus will give you all the graces that he intends for you to have. All those Eucharistic graces will be poured into your soul because you've drawn close to him by this act of faith.
I don't want to move around the chapter too much, but as you describe that, what I have heard of Teresa's experience, she experienced incredible raptures, did she not, at communion, the ability to be able to experience, and that she was so connected to what was going on at the Mass that just inflamed her whole soul.
Sure. Our communion with Christ Jesus is always a communion in and through his passion. It's in and through his passion that we have access to the heart of the Father. And in this kind of a prayer, this rapture, his passion moves you so deeply into the heart of the Father, your whole being is set on fire with his love. And that's what you're being woke up to. Even though you're in rapture, and it seems like she describes all the doors of the soul being closed while you're in this rapture so that you can give your full attention to the Lord. There's another way in which you're, because the outside is being closed down, you're able to attend fully and become fully awake to the love that is being unleashed within you. That love that is being unleashed is for the salvation of the whole world, for yourself, but for the whole world. And Jesus burns with it in the center of our soul. It's a consuming fire. And in a rapture, the vision that happens, you're being caught up in this consuming fire of Jesus' love.
You've been listening to Beginning to Pray with Dr. Anthony Lillis. To hear and or to download this conversation, along with hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com. There, too, you'll find an audio version of The Interior Castle by St. Teresa of Avila, the masterwork in which this series has been based. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission. And if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we hope that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com and join us next time for Beginning to Pray with Dr. Anthony Lillis.